Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I am Alejandra Yeni. I am a film and theater maker and actress. And I wrote and directed and acted in the short film Worth. And I am here with Chris from Hellblazer Biss.
Everyone, I have the honor and the privilege of the company of filmmaker and actress Alejandra Yeni this evening. I say this evening because we're recording in the evening. Hey, Alejandra, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're here obviously because your film Worth is one of your short films, one of your many films that you've created, as well as theatre as well. So that's obviously what we're going to talk about tonight and why we've been introduced, which is great. So I'm very glad we have been. Because I think the film itself, which we'll get on to talk about, is a very important film with an everyday topic that is, due to various reasons, which I'll talk about later, it seems to be a taboo subject for some reason to talk about, and this is why you've made the film. So we'll get into that after. but first, I mean, you are not only an award-winning filmmaker, but you're also an actress too. You've got made, and you're a theatre. Obviously, you do theatre work, and you've created and written plays. As you can see, I'm tongue-tied at the moment. you've written plays. You've obviously filled the screen. So, which do you prefer? Do you prefer doing it on stage, screen, or do you prefer behind it? So, do you like being in front of the camera and on stage, or do you like being behind the camera, writing and directing?
That's a good question. Actually, I'm asking myself that all the time because I feel like I should focus on one thing, mm-hmm. but I can't because I love all of it. And I cannot really decide. Somehow, from my theater background, I learned to create from stage. So I do devised theater where I work with companies and we just really create the story, the play from scratch, and being on stage as well, having an outside eye, but really kind of directing and acting at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I really love that in the field of theater. And then in film, it happened to happen that I was also doing both with this short film Worth. Mm-hmm. There I had the luck to have my sister, Claudia Yeni, who was co-directing on set as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, I can't really say what I like most. In the field of film, I mean, somehow I really love to somehow bring about topics that I feel are really relevant. And when I do my own work, I have the choice. And I can just, you know, go for an idea and do everything I can to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And with acting, I also absolutely adore it in front of the camera. But it's a different approach. So I don't really choose what I'm going to act. Of course, sometimes I choose. There are things I don't do because I don't know. I can't relate to the story. But yeah, most of the time, it's just what is brought to me. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. So do you think that being an actor, actress, and makes you a better director, and being a director and having that experience makes you a better on the acting side of things?
The first thing you said, like being an actress and then directing, I guess yes, because somehow I've experienced what it means to have a director talking to me and expecting things from me. So I guess this makes you a bit more humble as a director as well, because you know the work the actor or the actress is doing is really tough and very personal, and that makes it easier to find a good way to interact and to direct in that sense. The other way around, I'm not sure. Probably yes, because I know what or yeah, I could tell what is actable. It doesn't exist, but
I know what you mean.
I'm inventing the word, but yeah.
Excellent. So then we've got a new word, actable. Okay. Yeah. It makes sense though. I know exactly what you mean by it. So it's fine. Don't worry. It makes perfect sense.
We need more words.
That's great. As I said, I was going to, you know, something I ask, especially when you do theatre as well, because it's great to see someone with such a distinguished background in both theatre and the on screen as well. There's a lot of people who might have one and not the other, but there's a lot of people who have both. And I think theatre does complement when you're on screen a lot more, and vice versa. Because of the theatre, you're in the moment, especially when you're on stage. You know, there's no take two, there's no, you know, cut. If you do something wrong, and I've done theatre, I love theatre. I used to do it when I was until I was about 21. Did a couple of musicals, not big ones, they were just little amateur theatre. I should have had that. But I was a pantomime dame, which was the best experience ever. But yeah, when you get things wrong in the theatre, it goes wrong, and you just have to like recover or laugh, which is what I tended to do quite a lot. I couldn't help it. You know, we did a version of Macbeth, obviously a very serious play, and I was a lord, and there's 300 school children we were doing this for. And we were stood in the middle of the audience because we were very interactive. This was while I was at university, and I was a lord, and I had a proper pipe. Didn't smoke, had tobacco in the end, and you know, pretending to smoke. And it was one of the very, very serious speeches about what we do with this, you know, with this lord. I'm sure there's something going on. I bit the pipe, and the tobacco just slow motion flew out the pipe, right in the air, and just landed in front of me. And all the school children were giggling away because they'd seen it. And I had to carry on for another 4 or 5 minutes giving a speech, and my tears were streaming down. It was fun. That was just a little sad, but I love it. I love the whole art and the craft of it. So I love speaking to people like you because it's very inspirational to hear how you feel about it and how you go about that creativity that you've got, because you have. It's very... You know, I've seen a couple of your pieces of work now, as well as Worth All That, is the original title. And it's the creativity that you do have, it really does come across. So that kind of does bring me on to the main reason for our talk, and that is your film Wert, or Worth. It's Wert, isn't it? I'm saying that. This is my dialect again, like I was saying before. This is my picking it up from German.
Very convincing German.
Thanks. And obviously this film itself is one, it kind of highlights basically everyday life, every month, should I say, issue for women, and that comes across. And it's told through two women there who've got opposite troubles surrounding their periods. And so kind of what made you want to write a story to highlight this? In the first place, what gave you that inspiration to write it? Well, kind of that's a silly question. What gave you the inspiration? Because it's something you lived with the whole life. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess in the first place, because I thought, like, why are we not talking about this? Like, why did I spend my entire youth trying to hide it from everyone, even though it was something that was really affecting my every month life? it was that in the first. I just realized there is a taboo around it, and I don't understand why. And then at the same time, also because I want to do everything I can to promote gender equality and for equality of like of chances for both genders and or for all genders, I should say. And and I guess these gender-specific differences somehow also need to be understood in order to create a society where we have equal opportunities. And for that, we just need to know about it and to talk about it and to be in a dialogue about it. So making a film was kind of like to give an offer, like something visual that we could like refer to and then start talking.
Excellent. It was actually... the idea for how I was going to approach, because I was thinking of how which angle to come from when I was looking, because it does affect you as a film, and you know, and it's, I was going to say it's graphic, but it's not graphic, because it might be graphic to men because it's this taboo thing for men to talk about, but, and obviously women, but it's not that for you, for women, it's not at all. And I was actually talking to a neighbor on a dog walk. We talk now and then when we're walking the dog, and I mentioned that I was going to be talking to you about this film. We were talking about the reasons why, and it was her who came out with, I think it's men who've made it a stigma around it. And I was like, you hit the nail on the head. And that's why, and that we do live in such a patriarchal, where you said it was taboo, I think we are, because we live in such a patriarchal society. And I say that openly, you know, like we do, it's very obvious we do, and misogynistic as well. And that's the history of how it's been. And especially when you go back through history, you look and it's not so much, well, still there today, but not as much as it has been. Mm-hmm. Which is obviously where this whole taboo side of things has come from. If you look at the Victorian era, the Elizabethan era, where, you know, women were treated and subjugated basically at a very poor level. So like you just said, the no equality. And so for me, watching this film, it's great because it's breaking that wall of patriarchal society to say, you know, this is something that happens every day. We need to make, you know, we need to be talking about it. People struggle every month. You know, women are struggling. I'll say people, it's not, it's women or
yeah, there's
people also identify that, you know, who have that, there are other genders now, a fluid gender, you know, who have this issue every month. And especially from the because you've got it, I'm talking a lot here, sorry. I'm saying within Worth, you have two, because you've got two very different sides of things as well. You've got obviously one who is going through the pain of not having the period anymore, and it's not through pregnancy. There's just, so I guess that's a very, very big panic and a big worry, because what's going on inside of you as your character in the thing, you know, what's going on inside of you to understand all that. And then the other side, you've got someone who's got very heavy and can't help the fact that it's just constantly heavy all the time, and there's the embarrassment that she has when she's out and about as well. So yeah, that's all right. It's just, I think it's a really vital, important sort of message to be putting across to people. And yeah. I talked a lot then, sorry, I'll hand it back to you.
you just summed it up in a very, very beautiful manner. Something that came to my mind right now is my cousin once saying, like a long time ago, I was still writing the script. She said, mm-hmm. yeah, like just like this, she said it. If men would menstruate, there would be statues for it. And I really, somehow that struck me. And I think that on one hand, definitely, it's the patriarchal system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, that in the first place, definitely. But also somehow, it's a woman not opening up or not mm-hmm. talking about it. I mean, the shame, of course, comes from somewhere else. But this is also one scene in the film where my character talks to her boyfriend, and there's literally like the closed door. She expects him to understand and to realize that something's wrong with her, but she's not really talking about it. Mm-hmm. So this is also kind of, and the only thing I can really do, or what I can do mostly, is to open up, right?
As a woman.
So that's what I'm doing with the film. Yeah,
brilliant. And you are right, because that shows that the frustration there for the partners, if they don't understand what's going on, because they just, you know, if they, we need to create such an open society where women don't feel, I don't know if it's ashamed or embarrassed to talk about these issues and with their partners or with anybody. And that exactly, this is what the importance of Worth is all about, you know, and it does highlight, especially as I say with your character and her boyfriend, that because the boyfriend he wants to help, but he doesn't know how or what, because he doesn't know what's going on. And it's, you know, it's, and you can just imagine it being duplicated or replicated throughout the world, that little storyline going through, you know, as the men just not understanding, not possibly not even wanting to understand because they haven't, you know, it's just, like you say, the patriarchy, that's the inbred side of things, how it's been done. And so, yeah, I really think that a film such as Worth needs to be seen by people to actually understand that and push that out and let people start talking about it. Because we're all in an age now where everyone's pushing and saying, we've got to talk about this, we've got to talk about that, talk about mental health, which is vital.
Yeah.
But this is actually one of the, it's not the first time, I was going to say, because we're talking about period poverty as well. But it's very critical that we push all these subjects and say, like you say, get gender equality across all genders to say, these are the issues being faced by people. Let's open up and talk about it. You're not alone, you know, basically you are not alone, because that's your characters, I think, felt they were very much alone. Yeah. both of the key main ones, I think, were very feeling very lonely and alone. Whereas they're not, it's, you know, it's every woman around the world is in the same situation, pretty much.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Cool. And I mean, obviously, it's, I talk a lot. I'm sorry. It's like, I'm just sitting here blabbering away. So I was going to say, it's also, I mentioned there, but obviously there are very other real issues there as well. And it's not so much what Worth is about, like period poverty, et cetera, which is a very real issue. The embarrassment of the young girl because she's out in public and she hasn't got anything because she's, you know, she's forgotten. And it's, again, this is just such an everyday item. You know, I signed all these petitions last year to make the things free, make sanitary products free in the UK, because I was like, if you can give methadone to drug addicts, you can give nicotine patches to smokers, why can't you just, you know, their habits, you know, women have need these things on a monthly basis, regardless. It's not, they don't want it, you know. I'm pretty sure you are happy not have to have periods, but you know, it's, you do need them. And I think, you know, we need this. So there's that side of things as well. It's like the having things to hand is easy as that.
Yeah, that on one hand, the product, and then as well, the education about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're also, we created a workshop around the film. I just did the first workshop in January with school kids in public schools. And I'm just realizing they don't know anything about it except for the biological things, like what is exactly happening on a level of, I learn it for the test and then I write it down and I forget about it. Or I remember some parts, but nothing of the social dimension or even what products there are, what you can use. Like, for instance, the cup could be a good option for someone who, or other things. I mean, there are plenty of things and young girls and boys just really don't get informed about it. And then as well, they don't really talk with each other unless it's in a somehow joking manner.
Yeah.
So this was really, really beautiful to experience how they somehow, at least this class, they really opened up and they actually started talking each other and exchanging thoughts and wishes and questions. And then because it was the pilot workshop, we had like this long feedback session, and they were really like, it was so good to talk about it. And really one girl said, I feel less ashamed now. And this probably wouldn't have happened in school otherwise. No. They would have spent their entire time in school kind of like not feeling completely at ease with it.
Yeah. Yet,
why not? I mean, yeah.
Exactly. And that's right. That's another major important thing, because obviously, you know, the age of girls when this starts is very young, very impressionable. Mm-hmm. And if they do feel that self-consciousness around themselves in school, because kids can be really cruel. So we know that, you know, the bullying will go on and that they will feel insecure. They will feel very inadequate and like you say, embarrassed to talk about it. I remember when I was in school, it was when you mentioned that, it was true, because when I was in school, all the boys had to leave the class in biology for that lesson. The boys, we all had to leave the class and we had to have a different thing while the girls had their talk about periods and menstruation. So we weren't even on the class because it was deemed not something that boys need to know about or that we should be knowing about, you know. That was a long time ago, so I think things have probably come along since then. So hopefully, but still not far enough, which is obviously why you've made Worth. Yeah, and you're doing those workshops sound brilliant, Alejandro. They really do. And it's, you know, the fact that you've actually gone out there now and you've not just made the film, you are actually being practical and giving that education and passing that across the schools, I find so impressive. I really do.
Oh, yeah, somehow I had to. I can't just leave the film to festival audiences that, yeah, I mean, also, but not only, because that's exactly what you're saying. All this shame, it starts in school. It starts with the first bleeding. So yeah, the earlier we start to give the opportunity, but just to somehow create a space where they can just, yeah, exchange. The earlier the better, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, it opens it up, doesn't it? Especially with, you know, that very young age, if they realise that, you know, that the people sitting next to them have been thinking the same thing, but no one's talked about it until then, until they've been able to get into that workshop. And it will form friendships as well, because where people, you know, they'll actually have a mutual understanding and a mutual appreciation, and hopefully help each other out if something happens, that, you know, like in the film where she's asking, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's something that should be done, and it's not something that should be hidden away or made a taboo subject for any longer. So I really, really, it's full respect to you for the film and for the workshops, Alejandro. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great. And as I say, like I said, when I watched the film, from my, you know, because that's the way I've been raised, I've obviously had a much more open mind as I've been able to grow older. But it's still when I watched the film, I can't say that it wasn't a shock, because I was like, oh, you know, I wasn't expecting it. But again, that's exactly what we've just talked about, the patriarchy. That's where I took that view from, especially speaking to my neighbour and she mentioned it. And I was like, no, you're right. I went back and told her she was a genius. I said, you've just given me the entire thought of how to look at this again and go through it and analytically. And it was, you know, because take that side of it away and take it out of me and look and approach watching the film again, which I did. Understand the different perceptions, they're both characters in there and the building up of their characterization and the problems that they were facing. And obviously I've been around women all my life, my mum and my sisters and my other half. I can see that. See how it can affect you, how it affects people as well. But obviously that's where I relate to the boyfriend of being frustrated, because like, I want to help, but no one talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll show them the film.
And not just that, but also in films and in advertisements, you haven't seen that before. No. So it's kind of, I mean, we see how there is a nose bleeding, how like people go, I don't know, how people are sitting on the toilet in films, but we never see that. We never see the blood. We never see menstrual blood. And why not? I mean, if we can see everything else, then if we get to, to show all kinds of things and wounds and stuff, but not that. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, I understand that this shocking moment, because it's really images you just, if you're not menstruating, you probably haven't seen them.
No, exactly. And it's, you know, it just come across, but it's like you've just said, it's important, because you do, you know, how many of all these films where you do see, you know, it's like you could go through what if young girls are watching these films and they're thinking, they're looking at these films, they're seeing all these wonderful actresses going through all these wonderful situations and thinking, well, she doesn't have any issues with that. Whereas in reality,
never have her period.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and it adds to the that stigma and enigma around talking about it. And you're right, it should, you know, things like that should open up, and storylines, you know, if you're watching a sitcom, or make, you know, they should throw in now or then, you know, because I mean, a sitcom has been on for years, and again, 5 years, and the female characters never have a period. And it's like, you know, why? You should definitely bring that in and introduce it a lot more and stop the tabooness. That's the word, tabooness. I'm making it worse now.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. Excellent. Is there anything else? I mean, obviously, this is the main reason we're talking about it. It's Worth. It's a fantastic film. So where can people see that at the moment?
At the moment,
there's a festival, isn't it?
It was at a festival last week. It just passed. That was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There are maybe more festivals coming up, and at some point it will go online. So yeah, I guess if they follow the page of the film on Instagram, people will know about every opportunity that might.
Oh yeah. Excellent. And I'll share that out as well. I'll keep an eye on it. So as soon as I see the links, I can share those out as well and tell people, you know, push it.
Yeah.
Whichever small spread of people who actually listen to what I say. And follow that as well. Is there anything else you're working on at the moment after doing that? So what else are you working on at the moment?
Well, many things at the same time. I've been for a year working on an idea for our next film.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in the making, developing the idea, starting to write pieces of the script.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it might become a feature film.
Oh, brilliant.
And the promotion of the workshop, and then also I'm directing a play with young people, and I'm in between theater and film and mm-hmm. pedagogical work.
Fantastic. The workshops would be great, but I can imagine obviously lockdown is probably hampering and stopping that for the moment.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Well, you'll get there and get it out. So that's fantastic. And it's, you know, it's, as I say, it's great to hear that you've got so much more on the works as well. Because I mean, we're talking about this film, but it's not last year now, it's 2019 now, because we're in 2021. So you made this like nearly 2 years ago. So it's great to see that, you know, that's how long a process of a film can take to come around and go through, obviously, all the processes of getting out as well. So
even longer, because we shot it in 2018. So,
oh, wow. It's like three.
Really, it just sticks to me.
Well, yeah. No, I can see that it's a very personal, not a very personal, kind of a personal project and a personal motivation of yours is to push this idea out and to break this barrier. That's the phrase I've been trying to think of for the past half an hour, is break that barrier. Yeah. The stigma, and it's brilliant. It really is, you know, a great way to show that. And I really hope that obviously schools do pick that up a lot more as well, because I think that's something that you could publicise around all schools, and once it's available to everybody to watch, I think I'll send it to my son's high school and stuff as well to try and get them to look into it and see what they can do and watch it as well, because it should be part of every curriculum. Because it's very, you know, every curriculum around the world should have this, because it's very to the point, and it shows that all these young girls coming up and the women that, you know, regardless of whether you feel alone or not, when you're having your period and if you're in pain or if you're having suffering from it, or you're confused because you don't know what's like with your character, you've not had it, not getting one and stuff. You know, it's that needs to be made to show people you are not alone. There are people out there. You can talk to other girls. You can talk to other women and realize, you know, there is always help for you. So don't be afraid to speak out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before I close this off, is there anything you'd like to say, Alejandra, to people who are watching and listening? Any final words?
Everything. Any final words? Yeah, I'm repeating what we've already said. Just really, we can talk about it just like the way we talk about how we slept last night. It's just part of life. It's nothing that shall be cut out. So yeah, let's just be open with it.